Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I am Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am Jamie Jennings, and I'm getting my computer put together here. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for May 5th, 2011, episode 134, sponsored by EasySignsOnline.com. Good morning, Horse World.
Good morning.
It's Thursday.
Kick the tires and light the fires, Big Daddy.
Your presence is required on the command deck.
Well, it's Thursday, and you know, it seems like a short week. We're here yesterday, and today, and tomorrow, and we're out of here for the Kentucky Derby on Saturday. But let's get right to Jennifer, because she has the day packed for us, Jane.
Okay.
Holy cow, Glenn.
What? I told you I was going to get to you right away today. That's like fast, chop, chop.
Right away is a really relative term with you. On today's show, we will not be talking about the royal wedding nor its associated headwear. We're done with it. At least I am. We will, however, be joined by Patty Reeves, owner of the Horse Radio Network's favorite Derby contender, Mucho Macho Man. Be prepared for goosebump visuals, Kleenex-worthy stories, and the most up-to-date info from the M3 camp. And as if that wasn't enough, next up will be geneticist, say that when you haven't had your coffee yet in the morning, Samantha Brooks, who's going to be providing us a short course on equine color genetics. Sounds science weenie, but it's actually really fun. And finally, to round out the show, our usual Wednesday Chronicle Report with Lisa Slade. Now hop onto the Facebook page and keep things moving along, listeners. That's for you.
Well,
Glenn.
Jamie, I am back. I had a little technical difficulty too, but I am back, boys.
Oh.
Let's hope it's not one of those days.
Is anybody here?
I have a daily Winnie though. First daily Winnie goes out to congratulate Barbara Evans, who posted on our Facebook page that they got a new puppy, and the puppy's name is Tessie. I don't know what kind of puppies that look like, Jamie.
It looks like a golden retriever puppy. Is what it looks like to me.
Yeah, it could be. But it's cute as a dickens, and her name is Tessie, and she was named for the Red Sox rally song. What does Tessie have to do with the Red Sox rally song? That one.
I have no idea. I love baseball, but I could not sing you the Red Sox rally song because the Red Sox are stupid.
Let us know how you feel, Jamie.
Go Braves!
Nothing like insulting the listeners this early in the morning.
Go Braves! She understands. She knows. We've had this discussion before. My daily Winnie is the answer to a question, which, you know, Aaron was the one who posted yesterday, Aaron Watkins, and I've had a lot of people emailing me actually wanting to know what color saddle I got. I posted pictures early over the weekend, actually, of a brown saddle and a black saddle from Southern Star Saddlery, which is Clayton Frederick's saddle company. And I've been taking your suggestions. I'm asking you questions like which one, black or brown, has become a heated debate. And I would like to let everybody know that 80% of the people voted for the brown. So brown it is. Yay, I'm getting a brown jump saddle. I'm so excited. It's like Christmas. And, of course, his company is in Australia. So they had to ship it from Australia because they didn't have one in my size in brown. They had one in my size in black, but clearly I couldn't take that one because I had to have brown. So it's shipping. It's on its way from Australia.
You must take a size 15 and a half. You're like tiny.
Glenn, if you haven't noticed, which clearly you haven't because you would never look at something like this, I've got about the biggest booty for a white girl, okay? So, no, I definitely have a bigger saddle than 15 and a half. It's not a kid's saddle at all. So I wear a size 17, and they had to order it.
You really do? I am surprised.
As a man, let me just help you right now. Move past this. Say 17. Oh, that's not big. That's not big at all. That's perfectly small and normal. Listen, let me just stop you now because you're like, oh my God, you wear a size 17.
I haven't mentioned Oompa Loompas in a week. You should be happy.
You better move right past that too, my friend.
Hey, I don't have one that has raspberries on it, so this is the closest thing I've got. That's for Aubrey, who came to Rolex, one of our biggest listeners since day one, came to Rolex and didn't stop to see us. What is with that?
I'm shocked.
I am too.
I'm just disappointed, really, in Aubrey. You know, and lots of people said they were going to come by, and they never did. And if they want to be embarrassed about us and being friends with us, that's fine. I'm used to it. It's normal.
So just saying. Hey, we want to remind everybody about Friday's Really Bad Ad. That'll be tomorrow. And we want you to get your submissions in. Send them to Jennifer@HorseRadioNetwork.com and put in the subject line, Really Bad Ads. You know, we've been getting a lot of requests on our Facebook page. The most popular thing I think we could give away is our signed baseball hat with the Horse Radio Network logo on it with little Newman up there. By the way, our logo got more comments over the weekend. That logo just gets a lot of attention. They love that little microphone horse guy.
It's cute.
It is really cute. So we signed some hats over the weekend, so you'll get signed hat for the winner of the Really Bad Ads this week. So send in your Really Bad Ads. I know Jennifer got some already, but we need some more. So if you come across on Craigslist or DreamHorse or any of those websites, you come across an ad that's selling something that's related to horses, doesn't have to be the horses themselves, and it's just, you know, got a ton of misspellings or it's just really bad in one of 100 different ways, please forward it on to us, and we'll try and read it on the show tomorrow, and we'll pick a winner, and we'll send out a hat to the winner. So I just want to remind everybody about that.
Yeah, we've got prizes this week, next week. So, you know, the value versus time spent is pretty high. Because I was looking for ads last night, Glenn, and it's just amazing that you can sit down, like, per se, Craigslist. Sit down, look on Craigslist, and realize that all you have to do is go to the farm and garden section on Craigslist, and there are, I mean, the first 20. It's embarrassing. Maybe that is not true for other cities, but I don't know what is wrong with the city of Phoenix and its surrounding areas, because I think everybody is just crazy. They must be just, the sun has baked their brains and they have lost their mind and they've lost any sort of education as far as punctuation and spelling, but then the things they're selling or trying to trade for their horses are crazy. So we'll definitely tell you more about that tomorrow, but I did find a couple more new good ones. And
you just can't make
stuff like this up. If I tried to come up with something like this in my head, I wouldn't be able to do it. But they do it for you.
So Aubrey just posted on our page and says, sorry, guys, I was at the mercy of my friends with the car who wanted to sleep in most days. How do you sleep in when you go to Rolex? Really wanted to meet you guys and get a signed hat, too. Well, Aubrey, submit some ads for tomorrow so we can get you a signed hat. Sleep in. You don't sleep in when you go to Rolex. It's just not allowed. You just get up early and you go to breakfast, and then you come in and you shop and go see. But thank you, Aubrey, for we know you're listening anyway.
at least she's still listening to us. She might have seen us and run away, so at least she's still listening.
Well, we're going to have Patty up here very shortly. I don't know about you, but the excitement is growing. They had the dinner last night where they actually draw what spot the horses will be taking off out of the gate in. So we'll be
Post
talking
position.
To her about that. So that's kind of cool. And then we have I have some I have actually a story about the Preakness that I want to get to a little bit later too. Because you know what.
No more Preakness. I know what you're going to do. I know what you're going to do. And it's going to be disgusting. And it's not about the horses. It's about some stupid guy that walks around and he's, Pegasus. Is this about Pegasus?
No, this is about, actually, I'll tell you about it later. It's a story about, you're going to hear a lot about the Preakness because it's the one that comes up after the Kentucky Derby. So for the next 2 weeks, there's going to be stories about the Preakness. We're all going to be talking about, is it the next Triple Crown winner and blah, blah, blah. You know, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So,
I know.
Yeah.
But I know that you'll find a way to work in that stupid Preakness mascot guy that they have, which is the Pegasus guy who drinks beer and smells really bad or something. I can't remember.
Well, you know what? Seeing you're bringing it up.
Pegasus, the infamous.
Third Saturday in May, that's when the Preakness comes to Pimlico. For the wilder walks of life, in the middle of it all, sets the infield fest.
Just saying.
Legend goes, the leader of these crazy folk is a half-man, half-thoroughbred party manimal named Pegasus.
Half horse, half-man, with beer in hand, he strolls the infield fest. He's boldly rocks, he's hot to trot for girls with beautiful hands. It is Pegasus. Pegasus. He's a mighty stallion, crossed with a human party and hard till the break of dawn. And now the legend lives on.
Be legendary at Infield Fest, Saturday, May 21st. Enjoy musical guests Bruno Mars and Train. And be sure to upgrade to a Mug Club ticket for a bottomless mug. Buy your tickets today. Visit theinfieldfest.com and follow Pegasus at twitter.com/allhailpegasus.
Glenn.
I love that commercial. I should start charging them. Yeah?
I'm pretty sure that Patty, the owner of Mucho Macho Man, hung up when she heard that. I think we had her on the line. She hung up because she heard that. So just want you to know.
You know what? I think starting Monday we're going to have to play that every day just to get in the mood for the Preakness because Mucho Macho Man will have won the Kentucky Derby, and then, you know, we're going to be talking about the Preakness, and every time we talk about the Preakness, I have to go like this.
Pegasus!
Stop playing it. It's horrible.
I love it.
When you go to any sort of event like that, like in Kentucky or in any infield, there's always that really large, shirtless, hairy, drunk guy that's walking around and he's holding his beer and he's like got his T-shirt and he's like, you know, swinging it over his head. And he's just randomly, when people get drunk and they're outside, they just go, woo, woo. You know, they do that little holler thing. And I don't understand why people do that, but they're just excited. And that is what that reminds me of. So that,
well, you know, it's just such a catchy tune, though.
Pegasus!
Oh, God. So, to move on.
God, I hope Mucho Macho Man wins this weekend. I'm going to call up the Preakness and say, you have to pay for me. I don't care if it's 10 cents to run this ad every day, because then I can tell Jamie we're getting paid to do it. I have to run it.
No, please. Listen, let's go over some stuff. Let me try to make this save this little segment here. Yesterday, the post positions came out, and our buddy Mucho Macho Man ended up with the 13th post position. And I would like to let you know that 13, lucky number 13 for them. Patty's going to tell us why number 13 means so much to them and why in a field of 20 horses, you would be excited to have Mucho Macho Man sitting at the 13th spot. First of all, the number, you would think, oh no, unlucky 13. And then you've got him in the middle of a pack here. You know, they're pretty excited about it, and she's going to tell us why. Also, let's see where Uncle Mo ended up. Uncle Mo ended up where at post position number 18. So Uncle Mo is not the favorite, by the way. He did not come out as a favorite yesterday. Dialed in a Nick Zito horse in the 8th position. So that is who is going to be the favorite going into the Kentucky Derby, or at least right now. You know, it's anybody's race, even the 20th post position. Watch me go. Another female trainer, which is exciting. Her name is Kathleen O'Connell. You know, Big Brown won from the 20th post position, so it can be done, Glenn.
Well, and you know, the one I thought was interesting on this list was Twice the Appeal, starting off third, and the reason, or in the third post position. And the reason that that's important is that's the horse being ridden by Calvin Burrell. And we all know Calvin Burrell loves the rail. So he's coming right off to a spot where he wants to be. So that's another one. Now Twice the Appeal is going off at 20-1 too so far. I mean, this is all going to change. But that's an interesting one to watch too. You never count Calvin Burrell out.
You love him. You love him. It's weird.
I just think he's an interesting character. So which name, you know, we always try and pick the most interesting name for the Kentucky Derby, and I got to say that I don't know which name I find the most interesting here.
Well, here, I'll start. I'll name the names, and then our listeners can post on the Facebook pages which one they
take. Okay.
If just hearing the names, who would you bet on? And I'm going to start with post position one and go all the way down to 20. So here are the 20 horses that are in the Derby. Post on Facebook page when you hear the name, which one you think you would bet on, name only. Okay, number one, Arch, Arch, Arch. All one word, Arch, Arch, Arch. Number two, Brilliant Speed. Three, Twice the Appeal. Four, Stay Thirsty. Five, Decisive Moment. Six, post position is Comma to the Top. Number seven, Pants on Fire. Number eight, Dialed In. Ninth post position is Derby Kitten. 10 is Twinspired. Master of Hounds in the 11th. Centiva in 12. Mucho Macho Man in number 13. Shackleford is in number 14. And Midnight Interlude is the 15th post position. Animal Kingdom at 16. Sold At 17. Uncle Mo is 18. 19 is Nero. And 20 is Watch Me Go. I know which one, if I was picking by names, I would have to pick.
That one is? Yeah, and that one is?
I don't want to give it away. Let's see if anybody posted it on Facebook, because it is going to be, this is going to be good. I would have to say, you know, I'll go ahead and tell you, because the coolest name ever is. Well, the female jockey, Rosina Pravnik, is riding the horse Pants on Fire.
That's I kind of like that one too. I kind of like that one too.
I would like to tell you though that Rosie and I do not have a good relationship, simply because she has no idea who I am. When I went to Keeneland the other day, I was like, "Female jockey, woohoo!" And she's very successful. She does really well. So every single race that she was in, I bet on. I just put $2 on that bet. $2 on that one. Okay, the girl had her worst day in riding ever. She did not win one of the races that I bet on her. I lost all of that money, and I did it, you know, for the show. So I would like to go ahead and tell you, Glenn, that I will be sending you a bill for my losses at Keeneland, because I did it for the show. And
yeah, do that. Go ahead and send
it
that.
It fell
yeah.
through.
Send that right over.
Yeah,
be sure to. I'll be sure to pay that one. I'll put that one right on the top of all the bills.
Well, I've got receipts, and they come in the forms of little squares that they print up as soon as you place your bet, the ticket. So it's not looking good as far as my betting goes, but maybe Rosie will do better. So of the names, when you hear all those names, which one do you pick, Glenn?
I would say, you know, I kind of like Master of Hounds. We talked about that one yesterday. That's kind of a cool name. But I think, you know, probably, you know, the, if we're talking about the name of a racehorse, then, you know, Brilliant Speed. I kind of like if we're talking about the name of a racehorse. But I have something special. We have our guest, I think, ready to go. And I put something special together for Patty, the owner of Mucho Macho Man. And here it is.
And they're off in the Risen Star Stakes, and Mei-Chan was off last. Here's Decisive Moment heading out toward the front along with Mucho Macho Man.
I think it's in our favor. I think he's really going to like the distance, and he always breaks well, and he's a big horse. So hopefully he doesn't get us shuffled around too much. And Rajiv does a great job. I'm sure he's going to ride him flawlessly, and hopefully we cross the finish line first.
Three quarters, 113 and 3, and now they're into the stretch, and here comes Santiva. Santiva charging to a short lead. Mei-Chan's been switched out for a clear path. Here's the inside as Mucho Macho Man, who battles for this final furlong. It's Mucho Macho Man in front of Santiva, then Rogue Romance. Mei-Chan is fourth for Rajiv Baraj. Mucho Macho Man wins the Risen Star.
That was awesome. Okay, we've got, Patty, are you ready for this? 2 days, 12 hours, and 2 minutes until you have a horse in the Kentucky Derby. Are you there?
Oh, did we lose
can
her?
Can you hear me? No.
Oh,
I'm
there she is.
Patty. Yeah.
Sorry about that. Good morning. That was awesome, you guys.
That was cool. And can you believe 2 days, 12 hours, and 2 minutes until your horse is in the Kentucky Derby?
No, I'm still pinching myself. It's great. Wow. It's just been such a week.
Well, you guys had an exciting day yesterday. You guys drew the 13th post yesterday. And, you know, most people would go, oh, 13. Why were you guys so excited about the number 13?
Oh, well, it wasn't specifically the number 13. We wanted to be in that general area toward the outside. Mm-hmm. And if you were watching it, we were one of the last horses to get picked. So we were sitting there, you know, on pins and needles wondering, would we get number one? Would we get number 20? And, you know, we had talked about it ahead of time, and we wanted to be in the middle to the outside. But the funny thing was, as we were sitting there, and that took forever. I mean, that made the Kentucky Derby seem like a piece of cake. one of our partners, Jim Culver, was sitting with me in the front row, and he kept saying to me, he said, Patty, I have a feeling we're going to draw 13. He said, but that's a good thing. I like that number. I said, okay. And he said it like three or four times loud enough that the people around us could hear it. And when it really happened, I think we were just all shocked. So it was great.
That's great.
Wow. And I read, too, that the number 13 is pretty special to your trainer, Kathy, too.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess that's her birthday. And I think her heart – I didn't get to talk to her about it, but her birthday. And then, of course, there was all kinds of connections. We counted the letters in Mucho Macho Man, and it's 13.
Oh, wow.
So, no, we're just happy to get in that general area, and we feel like he's – you know, that's a great spot for him.
So what was that like yesterday? I mean, I think every horse person associated with the Kentucky Derby, they kind of all pile in a room. And how does it work?
Oh, it's really exciting. Yeah, everybody, you have to have a pass to get in. And when you get in there, there's just media cameras everywhere, and it's live. And so you have to wait for commercial breaks. And it's neat. We have a host that's assigned to us by Churchill Downs, who sort of looks after us to be sure we get to where we're going and, you know where we're supposed to be. And our host
had people,
peeps. We have one person, and he's a wonderful man. His name is Barry, and he's taken really good care of us.
And he guided us. He had seats held for Dean and I in the front row. So when he escorted us in, like as usual, as you get to know us better, we're always running a tad bit late. And so we got there, and he escorted us right to our seat in the front row.
Oh, that's great. And for those who didn't see it, how does that work? Like, they draw your name and they draw a number together? Do you get just picked out of a hat?
They draw a number first, so they'll say post position number 13, and then they pull the name of the horse out of another hat, and then they'll say Mucho Macho Man. So it's two separate drawings.
That is so great. I'm so excited for you guys. It's going to be, 2 days, holy cow. But Dialed In came off as the Derby favorite. And, you know, there's a lot of rumors swirling around about Uncle Mo. What have you heard?
You know, I haven't heard a lot. When you're here, you're really focused in on your own team. We have so many guests here. So I haven't heard anything specifically about Uncle Mo or Dialed In. But the funny thing was the Dialed In folks were sitting right behind us last night for the draw, and I couldn't believe it, because the lady said it's going to be number 8, and she was. And then it happened to us, and our partner said it's going to be number 13, I feel it, and then it happened. So we just had a lot of awe going on all at once, you know.
That's great. Well, obviously the biggest race in the world is on Saturday. And have you talked to your trainer? Do you have any idea on how they plan to run it to navigate from post position number 13?
Well, you know, she just hopes he'll break from the gate fine. We're such a big horse that we don't worry about he'll make his way through. You know, we just want him to hold the pace. And then when he makes a final turn for home, we want him to pull through to the lead, and we just hope he's got enough in him to go that extra distance.
Yeah. So my next question is, a lot of information coming out about you guys getting a sponsor, which is 3M. Tell us how that happened. How did you get 3M, a company that you used to work for, how did you get them to sponsor your Derby run?
Oh, it was just great. It was you know, I really think it was just meant to be. There's so many connections with the 3M. And, you know, first of all, everyone calls the horse 3M anyway. On our Facebook page, they refer to him as either 3M or MMM or M3, or some people call him M cubed. They have a lot of names for him. So that was sort of a natural. And, you know, when people used to call him 3M in the beginning, I'd say, oh, no, I used to work for the 3M company. Now that's Minnesota Mining and Manufacturing. And so we would joke about that. And it got brought to my attention through Churchill Downs just last week that we could have a corporate sponsor. I wasn't aware of that. And so when we were notified of that, I said, wow, that's really interesting. And that's right up my alley. I love those kind of things. I work in advertising. So I thought, maybe I could secure a corporate sponsor. So my husband said to me, well, why don't you contact the 3M company? You know, you used to work. It was my first employer out of college. I worked for them for a long time. I had a great relationship with them. I worked there from 1983 to 1997 when they sold off the division that I worked for. And so I knew people high up in the company, but I thought, oh, it would take a long time to kind of go through those channels. So I just called the 1-800-3M-HELPS phone line. And it's, I thought to
you
myself,
did? You just called the general number?
I called 1-800-3M-HELPS. And
that's awesome.
I remember they launched that phone number back when I worked there, so it's been around a long time. And bless her heart, the sweetest lady answered the phone. She was doing a great job. And I'm thinking back how I sounded. I said, hi, you know, my name is Patty Reeves, and I used to work there, and I have this horse, and he's going to be in the Kentucky Derby. Anyway, you know, I gave her the information, and she didn't hang up on you? She did not hang up. She was very polite. She typed it all down, and she said, thank you very much, and I'll get this to someone. And within 2 hours, I made contact with the director of corporate communications, a man named Jerry, who was absolutely wonderful. He immediately said, we love this horse. We've Googled it. We looked up your stats and everything. We love the horse. We love the story. And we definitely want to be a part of this. And it just meant, you know, the whole thing between my previous employment there, the horse actually has heritage back to the 3M Tartan Farms breeding in Florida, and it was just such a fit. So it worked out, and
we'll
yeah, there are sponsored through the for all three races of the Triple Crown.
And of course,
oh
they make a product that every horse person uses, and that's Vet Wrap. Did they send you about a million cases of Vet Wrap?
Oh, they did. They're wonderful. They sent us a lot of equine products, rundown patches, which I've been joking are under eye patches, but rundown patches, and the Vet Wrap, or all the different products that they make that pertain to the horse. And the neat thing too, when I told Kathy, she said, "Oh, I absolutely love their product. That's all I use on the horse. Absolutely."
Oh,
so
great. Oh, that's great. It's
yeah.
Perfect. Perfect. So Rajiv, your jockey, is going to be wearing 3M, I guess probably on his pant leg, because it seems to me like that's where all of it, all the advertisements go. So how much exactly does it cost to advertise on a jockey's pant leg for the Derby? If you don't mind me asking.
Well, I can't disclose the terms of the arrangement, but it really it's bigger than that. It's more of a relationship that we have now going forward where 3M will be a part of the horse. They will have their logo on the jockey pants. There's restrictions as to how big it can be and exactly where it can be placed, and you have to comply with those restrictions. But it's a bright red. They have such a great logo, too. You can see it a mile away. And with the name of the horse.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep. It's a great logo for that. So it's going to show up really well. And there's some of the 3M corporate executives will be coming into town, and they'll have some photo opportunities with the horse. And, of course, if we get to go to the winner's circle, they'll be right there with us.
Oh, that's so cool.
Wow,
I was asking because I was hoping that maybe Glenn could buy the other pant leg as the owner of the Horse Radio Network, and we could do 3M on one side and HRN on the other, you know, represent.
Unfortunately, she said they're only allowed to have one corporate sponsor. So.
Oh,
yeah, there are exclusive
it.
Sponsors.
We
don't
have it.
But we'll be happy to come on the radio show anytime.
So you're going to the Derby Saturday. Who do you hope to meet? There's usually celebrities. And I was, like, looking through and trying to see what celebrities were there last year. And it's, like, the Kardashians, some of the Backstreet Boys, Mario Lopez. So are there any celebrities you know that are coming you're excited about?
I don't know. When we were fortunate enough to meet some of the inside people at Churchill Downs, that was one of my first questions. Who can I be on the lookout for? And I didn't get any information yet, but I'll just be, you know, my eyes will be wide open and I'll be looking and trying to see who I can see.
Well, I got to tell you, when Mucho Macho Man comes across the finish line first, you'll be meeting them all.
Aw, well, thank you. You know, my husband, even he said to me this morning, just remember, honey, it's just been our goal to get here, and we're living the dream just by being here every day. So we're,
what
you know,
a sweetheart.
We're so thankful to get here. He is.
That's awesome. Well, one question, I know you got to go, but, you know, the Kentucky Derby is famous for its parties and its boozing and its drinking. As an owner of a horse in the race, you're going to be nervous. You might think you need some champagne or something to settle your nerves, a little morning breakfast. Do you start boozing in the morning as an owner, or do you have to wait and try to, like, buzz maintenance all the way through to the end of the race?
Oh, gosh, no. You know what? I'm on my own internal high. I don't need a thing. We're all so pumped up about this. No, to be honest, the best thing I need is a good night's sleep. You know, to feel well-rested, get a little stretching and some exercise. And, you know, we get out early to the barn and watch the horse work out and train. And we have so many guests and people coming into town. It's just exhilarating. So,
oh, my gosh. She's so classy.
Oh, no, it really it is such a...
I don't
a,
know why she keeps
a,
coming on our show, to be honest with you. Okay?
I don't know.
Thank you, Patty. This is great.
Thank
Good
so
luck.
Much.
Wow.
You've all been really wonderful. It's been great to share this experience with you. Thank you for helping me to document it along the way, and thanks for not making me cry too much today.
I couldn't take it last
week. You have to promise, after Mucho Macho Man wins and you become famous, you'll still come back on with us before the pre-
Oh, absolutely. My stepdaughter said to me last night, she says, you just have to cry it out so that there's none left. because last night we started crying. They played My Old Kentucky Home at the after the post position drawing, and I started getting teared up. And she said, "Nope, you've just got to cry it out. Get it out now."
Aww.
And I said, "I just keep this well, just keeps filling back up with emotion because you realize I don't know if you saw we're on the front of USA Today."
I know.
I couldn't
Amazing.
Believe it. And then then I was just now getting dressed, and I saw we're on Headline News, on CNN Headline News with Kathy's story. But I'm standing there behind her in the picture.
Oh, so cool. I'll have to check that out.
That was a surprise. So, yeah, it is a little bit overwhelming, and it's very humbling. I mean, this whole sport is very humbling. You know, I'm already saying to my husband this morning, you know, I know it's great that somebody's going to win, but I already feel bad for the other 19 horses that aren't going to win.
You might be one of those people. You're like, I don't care, I just feel bad for everybody else.
Well, and you know what though, like Kathy says, we're all winners just getting here, and it's so neat that we'll have that camaraderie together of all having been in the 2011 Kentucky Derby together.
Can you believe you can say that?
Oh
my gosh,
almost,
you
right?
Just
almost.
Said that. That's so cool. Well, 2 days, 11 hours, and now 49 minutes until Mucho Macho Man enters the starting gate. It opens up, and, you know, history is going to be made. So we wish you just the best of luck possible. It's luck, and it's skill, and it's just exciting. And, you know, I love the part in the movie Secretariat where the groom walks out, and he's like, "Hey, Kentucky! You're about to see something you ain't never seen." I'm like, have your jockey do that. It's good luck, or have your group do that. It was so exciting. I'm so excited for you guys, and just the best of luck, Patty. Thank you so much for being on our show.
Thank you so much, and thanks for watching.
All right,
we'll
see
you
there.
On TV.
Yep, I know you'll be watching. Thanks. Okay, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye, Patty.
Bye. Just classy. The lady is just total class.
You tried to get her down in the dirt, and she wasn't going there. You tried to bring her down to your level, and she just was not going there.
Oh, man. That's okay, though. That's okay. You know, it just goes to show you, you can test them a little bit, but she is just, you know, she is just a Southern belle, and she is just as nice and classy and you know, just as good as they come, just through and through, a good lady. So we are definitely excited for them. And I don't think I've ever pulled for a horse this much. It's going to be a great day. And are you guys going to a derby party, Glenn?
I don't know. We've been invited to a couple. I don't know what we're doing yet. You know, I kind of just like watching the derby at home on my big TV. It's kind of fun just to sit at home too. So, I don't know what we're doing. We haven't decided yet. It's up in the air. But I'll tell you what, we should get to our – go ahead.
I was just going to say, to wrap that up, last year's derby party that I went to was my bachelorette party, where we went on a morning trail ride. And then we actually had a poker ride in the morning. And then we had a potluck derby day festivities. And I – swear to this day, I can't remember who won the derby. So this year I'm actually going to just sit down and watch the whole spectacle from start to finish and not get mired in the partying and drinking of it. I tell myself that anyway, because last year was just so cool, so wild. It was a little wild. But we should get to our commercial is what you were going to say.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I should do that.
We should.
Visit our friends at easysignsonline.com and browse their unique website to see their many custom sign options and styles. Their step-by-step ordering process allows you to choose your sign options and see all the pricing up front. From vinyl banners, magnetic vehicle signs, stall nameplates, farm entrance signs, they have business, school, and church signs as well. Visit their New England-style line of signs. They're very popular for horse farms. Hundreds of combination of options. You can do colors and fonts and anything the custom sign that you have always wanted, they can do for you. Remember, you only get one chance to make a first impression. A beautiful farm entrance sign from EZSignsOnline.com gets it done. And free shipping on any order of $100. EZSignsOnline.com, 1-800-640-8180.
Well, you know how you said our last guest was so classy and everything? Well, our next guest is very, very smart. So not only are we being outclassed on today's show, we're being outsmarted, too.
That's a good day.
Pretty much just leaves us out in left field. We're going to talk about something that we haven't ever talked about, actually, on all the 1,200 episodes of all the shows we put out here on the Horse Radio Network, and talk about a random occurrence. Jennifer booked this guest a couple of weeks ago and then happened to be in the Mickler's tent at Rolex and ran into this woman we have never met before, ran into this woman in the Mickler's tent and discovered by just chatting with her that she is the guest that she had booked to talk about equine color genetics. And, and it's basically how do horses get those colors. So, you know, it's an interesting topic, and our guest is Dr. Samantha, and I'm hoping is it Brooks or Brooks, Dr.?
It's Brooks.
Brooks? Okay, good. Well, Dr. Brooks, welcome to the show. It was good to meet you the other day at Rolex, but wasn't that a weird thing?
Oh, absolutely. That was just fantastic. It was, you know, it's funny. The horse world seems to just be getting smaller every day. We all seem to know one another now. And just happened to be chatting with a very good friend of mine and ran into Jen. And lo and behold, turns out that we had just been emailing a few weeks before. And it's pretty random because, you know, there's not many equine geneticists around. So
no, you don't run into those every day.
not every day.
Hey, now, I gave a hat to a little guy that was standing beside us in the Mickler booth there because he looked like he needed a hat. And did that turn out to be your son? Was that your son?
That was my son, Tyler.
I didn't realize that.
He's in second grade. Yep. He's been drug around all sorts of horse events with mom for years. So he was pretty excited to get a nice red ball cap from Land Rover.
Well,
I think they're stalking you, Glenn.
I know.
It sounds like they're following you guys around.
And then we saw him the next day, and he was still wearing his hat, so I think he liked his hat.
Yeah, he was. He was having a lot of fun.
Well, cool. All right, let's talk about this. I don't know anything about – well, first of all, when you say genetics, it's pretty much out of my ballgame. But, you know, I don't know anything about color genetics. So, first of all, give us an overview of what is color genetics.
Well, color genetics is a lot of fun for a couple reasons. The first one is from a scientific standpoint. It's a really great system to study. You know, the earliest geneticists started with the color of flowers or the color of fruit flies. So it's really kind of logical that when we move on to horses, we start to look at color. And the other reason it's a lot of fun is because horse people just love it. You know, it doesn't matter what breed of horse you're looking at. Someone has a favorite color, and someone has started breeding their horses for something that looks new and different. So it gives us a lot of really interesting traits to study. So I guess the most basic place to start is usually the base coat color, because that's sort of what's underneath all the fun spotting patterns that we have now. When we're talking about base coat, we're usually looking at three different types. You have your basic bay, which we think is what the original color of the horse would have looked most like, maybe with a dilution or two. And then that can be changed by two different mutations, one that will change that bay to black and one that will change that bay or black to chestnut. And it's a pretty interesting, you know, we say mutations, it sounds kind of scary, but it's not really scary. You know, we all have mutations. That's what makes us each different from one another. It just happens.
Some of us have more
than
others of us, I'm afraid.
Sometimes, you know, a little diversity is good, though. A little diversity is really good. Yeah, if you don't have enough, you tend to get problems with recessive diseases and things. So we'll say it's a good thing to be different.
Okay,
right?
Good. I like that because that makes me feel better about myself.
That's right. He's adding a little diversity to the population there. So, you know, with chestnut, it's interesting because the mutation affects a gene that acts kind of like a light switch, and it flips on and off the ability for the pigment cells to make that black pigment. So in copies of this gene that have the chestnut mutation, that switch doesn't work anymore, and the horse can't make black pigments. So regardless of what all the other genes say, all that's left is red, and so we see a nice, pretty red horse.
Hmm. Now, okay, so I guess how much so there's actually one base color, or does that mean there's three base colors?
Well, when we say base color, that's really kind of, it's a broad adjective. And, you know, I tell you, adjectives get us in a lot of trouble when it comes to coat color, because every horse person has their own name for something, too. But in general, we categorize the three colors as base colors. But if you really talk from a geneticist standpoint, we think of what we sort of call the wild type. And the wild type is, what did the horse look like before we started selecting for color? And the simplest, closest approximation we can get would probably be just a bay horse.
Okay. And all right, so how do we start branching out from those three then into paints and into grays and things like that? And oh, by the way, we have a redhead that has some black in his tail. Does that mean it's not really black?
He's a bay.
Oh, he's a bay. He certainly could be bay, but, you know, Mother Nature always proves us wrong. So as soon as I say that chestnuts can't make any black pigment, somewhere there will be some exceptional individual that can manage to make a little bit of black. So.
Oh, that means my horse is exceptional. I like that.
That's right. I tell you.
What color would Glenn be? Because Glenn is kind of a bay with a gray beard. So what does that mean? You're like a dappled horse. You're a dapple gray.
There you go. Well, you know, gray, the mutation for gray in horses, works a little bit similar to the way gray hair works in people. Gray is a pretty popular mutation, except for that now we know that it has some association with melanoma in horses. Of course, when I say melanoma, a lot of people kind of panic because you think of melanoma in people, which is a really dangerous cancer. It's usually caused by overexposure to the sun, and it tends to spread very rapidly and be a very nasty disease. In the horses, it's a little different. You do have this overgrowth of pigment cells, so it's called a melanoma, but it tends to be more benign in nature and usually causes problems because it likes to be a big mass that's in really inopportune areas on the horse. But the mechanism that causes gray in the horse, it's a single mutation in one gene. It has a dominant effect, so that means just one copy of the gene is enough to see that effect on any base coat color. And the gene controls cell cycle. So there's a bunch of cells in the hair follicle that produce pigment, and when this gene has a mutation, they go into overdrive. And they start turning over and over again until eventually they're completely exhausted. And once they're exhausted, those pigment cells die off and you're left with a hair that turns white. So it's kind of like what happens in people, because now we're living longer and longer as we have improved diets and better health care, and now we've started to outlive our pigment cells. So now our pigment cells are getting kind of tired and they're running out in our own hair follicles, and there you go, we turn gray as well.
So shouldn't gray horses get tired quicker then of all that work their hair is doing?
Well, just their hair, you know, the rest of
okay.
them, they
okay.
do all right.
I know I get tired quick, and I have a lot of gray hair.
Yeah,
so,
you know, it happens to all of us eventually, I think.
How much through breeding, then, can you control of the color?
You can control a lot, particularly these days. You know, we've gotten pretty lucky, and we've really discovered the genetic basis for a lot of colors, particularly the spotting patterns. You know, you mentioned paint horse, and in the paint or pinto horse, we now know the mutations for Tobiano, for lethal white overo, and for some of the Sabino type patterns. And for each of those, we've been able to develop a genetic test. Now, because of the way genes interact, sometimes the way a horse looks won't predict exactly what he's going to transmit to his offspring. And if you're a breeder, you know, you say, well, he's pretty, but really you want to know what the foals are going to look like. So now that we've developed these tests, they just enable us to look at the DNA and read what the DNA says and determine what that horse is going to transmit to his offspring. We can look at the probabilities and predict what his babies are going to look like, and that makes a big difference in the bottom line of breeders when they're choosing who to mate to whom, because they can do a much better job of predicting how they're going to get the patterns that really make their horses sell.
Yeah, I always feel bad.
Go ahead.
I always feel, Glenn, I always feel bad for people when they say, he's a breeding stock paint, gelding. And that just means that you messed up. And the color did not come out breeding stock paint. Basically, you're a big disappointment horse because you're not flashy.
Well, maybe they missed on one gene there. They missed the color gene. But, you know, you never know. He's probably got some other genes that make him a pretty good individual. So we won't discount him just for one miss.
Right, but would you want to breed a breeding stock paint to another solid-colored horse? Or would you get a paint? Would it be possible? Or would that just kind of take the line of color out of it?
Well, you know, sometimes there are novel mutations that pop up. Every now and then something new and random happens. So there is that chance that he would gain a mutation in his offspring, and then from then on you would have color. But what you can do is by using these DNA tests, you can find another horse who has two copies of those color genes. He's homozygous. Then if you breed your breeding stock paint to your homozygous horse, all of the resulting offspring are going to have those spotting patterns. They'll get them from the other parent. But
I was just going to say, is it the stallion or the mare? Is there more control in one or the other as far as color is concerned, or what?
Oh, no. When it comes to genetics, we really have equality of the sexes at the most basic level. You get half your genes from your mom, and you get half your genes from your dad. So,
damn, I really wanted to have an advantage there.
Nope, sorry, Glenn, you're out of luck. You know, the genes interact with one another a little differently, depending on what the mutation is. In some cases, the effect of one can cover up the effect of another, but you still have that same written set of directions that came half from mom and half from dad.
I didn't know that. So if you're going for... Does it take generations? So this mutation, okay, does it take generations to really get it far out there? In other words, you want a leopard-spotted horse. Does it really take generations to do that, or is that something that can happen in one generation if you find the right two horses with the right genes? Or, you know, and through the DNA, can you really predict that, or is there still dumb luck involved?
Well, when you're talking about random mutations, it's still dumb luck. And when you think about how lucky we've been, it's really surprising because there's a lot of genes that if you get a mutation in there, you're going to cause some serious health problems. And that's how we get genetic disorders and inherited diseases. So we get really lucky when we get a mutation that causes a nifty spotting pattern but doesn't necessarily cause disease. And as it turns out, that many of the genes have more than one purpose. A gene might not only control a spotting pattern, but it also is going to play a role somewhere else in the body. That's how we end up with a problem like lethal white overo. That's the result of two parents that have a frame overo pattern. They each carry a frame overo gene. And one gene is okay. You still have another copy from the other parent, and that keeps you going pretty well. But if you happen to get two copies of this gene, it happens that the gene defect causes a problem with the development of the intestines and the gut, and the resulting foals always die. So it causes a valuable pattern in one copy, but in two copies, a very serious disease. So that's another good use for our DNA test, is now we can help to avoid production of these foals. But, of course, we're talking about things that most of the time are caused by one single mutation. So when it's one mutation, it happens once, and poof, there you go. You've got your trait. Takes one generation. As long as you preserve that genetic mutation in the population by selective breeding, it's always going to be there. When you're talking about things like performance or racing ability, that frequently takes many generations to really start to perfect because you have to sort of collect the effect of many different genes and the effect of those genes when they're changed by the environment. So that can be a much more complex problem to deal with.
Okay, so I know you have two kids, right? Because you had the little boy that had two. So I have a question. So a doctor of genetics has children. Do you know what's going to happen and exactly what they're going to look like?
Well, not exactly. Not exactly. But I would be lying if I didn't tell you I thought about the hair color genes there just a little bit to see what we thought would come along.
I thought maybe you subject. I thought maybe before you even got married, when he proposed, you subjected him to a huge amount of DNA testing. And then you said, he got down on his knee and he said, Samantha, will you marry me? And you said, well, can we do the DNA testing first? And, you know, after about 3 weeks, I'll let you know. You didn't do that to
the
poor guy.
I didn't. I tell you, he comes from pretty good stock, so I rested pretty comfortably in that, to be sure. But, you know, and the thing is, we added a lot of diversity there. We knew we weren't related, so that's a good start. Marry outside of the family, and you're on the right path.
Well, your sights were low.
You gotta
well, we're not family.
Somewhere. You got to start somewhere. After that, it's all training and environment, right?
I like your attitude, Samantha.
I'm sorry,
oh,
I'm falling
knows,
off my ball here.
Well, yeah.
Well, so how does did you grow up wanting to be a doctor of genetics?
Oh no, not at all, not at all. Like all good Kentucky girls, I wanted to be a professional horsewoman, of course. But you know, it's a tough industry to make your way in, and I happen to be good at science. You know, I went to school, and you know, when you think about a career, the next place you go is usually to be a veterinarian. So then I thought, well, I'll be a veterinarian. And while I was studying, I just happened to be really good at science, and I kept learning about these genes. And you know, it was like seemed like virtually every problem we looked at from a health aspect could have a genetic component to it. I said, hey, you know, this is where stuff is really happening. If we learn how to deal with these genes, we can really solve a lot of problems. So I literally was looking at vet schools, and I started a research program. We had to do a senior research project, and just happened to be in the perfect place in the world. I studied at the Gluck Equine Research Center, where we happened to have one of the, you know, half dozen or so equine geneticists. Dr. Ernie Bailey was there, and got really fortunate that I got a great introduction to equine genetics, and all of a sudden it just clicked. It was like, hey, you know, I get to combine my passion for horses with these genes and the science I seem to be able to do. So it was really kind of fortuitous because not a common career, I'll tell you that.
No, it's definitely, there's very few of you around, I'm sure. But I got to tell you that between Patty being so classy, I kind of feel like a country hick now. And I also feel genetically inadequate at this point after having you on. So Dr. Samantha Brooks, where can people find out more about color genetics in horses?
Absolutely. Well, I tell you, there's a lot of really good books out there. Dr. Phil Sponnenberg has written a book that's really fantastic as far as learning about color. And, of course, you can come to my website. We have a little bit about color and a lot about some of the health research that we're doing as well. And if you just Google Brooks Equine Genetics Lab, we're the first one that pops up.
Okay, cool. Well, thank you so much for being on with us today. We really appreciate it. It was good to meet you the other day. And I bet we're gonna be having you back again.
Great. I really enjoyed it. And thanks for the hat.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you, Dr. Brooks.
Take care.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to take a break for a song here, and then we're going to be coming back with the Weekly Chronicle Report. The song today is When You Carry Me by Marianne Kennedy, and we'll be right back after that.
What is this love that runs so deep? We try to be the best that we can be for them with every stride and every move. It's up to us to prove it is a dance between horse and man, spirits in unity. I will be true when I ride you in perfect harmony. Are big, their bodies strong, their feet are sure. It's up to us to mirror them with every step and every touch. We will earn their trust. It is a dance between horse and man, spirits in unity. And I will be true when I ride you with fluidity.
Radio with horse people. Things like that happen. Well, this half hour is sponsored by FeedXL. If you're not quite sure whether you're feeding your horse correctly or not, you just want to make sure you're doing right by your horse, then head to FeedXL.com. At FeedXL, it takes a couple minutes just to put in some information about your horse. It takes a couple minutes to put in some information about what you're feeding your horse, and it'll spit out all kinds of reports that shows you whether you're giving too much of one thing or not enough of another. Really breaks down the vitamins and each, you know, if you've got too much vitamin A or too little vitamin C, it's going to give you that report and tell you how to adjust your feed. And you can be sure that you're feeding correctly when you go to feedxl.com and just take the few minutes that it takes to find out if you're doing it right. That's feedxl.com. The show today is sponsored by EasySignsOnline.com. And now we're up with the Chronicle Report, and we have Lisa here. Hi, Lisa.
Good morning, Glenn.
It was so good to finally get to meet you in person at Rolex last weekend.
I know. That was super. Sorry we didn't really get to connect in terms of doing the show. It was, as I'm sure you know, extremely busy.
Yes, it was. But it was nice to put a face with the voice, finally.
Yep.
And did you have fun?
I had a great time. You know, we we did work a lot, but it was really fun. And we were so lucky the weather cooperated, because I don't know about you, but when we were driving in Wednesday, there were tornado warnings on the radio, and it just looked terrible. And it ended up actually being a really beautiful weekend.
Yeah, it did. And, you know, remember, we live here, so we were living through those tornado warnings for a week.
Oh, my gosh, I forgot about that.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, of course, it poured down rain the day after you left. So
yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, you know, we got pretty lucky with the weather there, and it was a great competition and really worked out well, I think, with Mary King winning first and second. So it was just fun, and it definitely was good to meet you and to see old friends there, too.
Yep. Yep, it was a cool weekend, definitely. And it was such a nice weekend.
Yes, that was the other good thing, and I know we had talked about safety before. So it was good. Horses and riders were all okay.
Yep.
Now, you wanted to talk about something today that wasn't Rolex.
Yeah, you know, I thought maybe people would getting just a little sick of Rolex. We've been talking about it for, it seems like, months now. So I thought it might be good to talk about something else for just a few minutes.
Okay. Shoot.
So, sorry, do you want to go ahead?
No, go ahead. Lead the way.
Well, for our latest issue of the Chronicle Connection, which is our new digital product, we decided to do a cover story on Bill Northern, who, if you haven't heard of him, he's probably one of the more famous of the animal communicators. He's used by, you know, pretty famous people. We had, I think, Todd Menicus talking about him in the story, and Candace King has used him as well. And there were lots of clients that he said, you know, don't want their names out there, but there are quite a few more famous riders who use his services. And so we did a cover story on him. He's a really cool person. He's 73 now, but he's still, you know, he's going super strong. And we thought it'd be really cool to have him talk to, like, a famous horse, you know, maybe an event horse or a famous show hunter, something like that. So we asked him about that, and he said, you know, he doesn't usually like to just do things like that for fun because it takes a fair amount of energy from him, and he would rather work on a horse that had some problems. And so we sort of said, okay, just so happens, you know, we have some of those around here as well. So for a story in the magazine...
Yeah, you can always find horses with problems. That's
yeah.
Not too hard.
And since pretty much every staff person here has at least one horse, we thought it would, you know, be easy to find one. And so we actually ended up, I talked to him about my particular horse for a story in the magazine. And I'm about as skeptical as the next person. But I have to admit that it was pretty crazy, the level of accuracy. So
now, is it stuff, though? Okay, so, you know, I've actually done, I actually did a whole episode on this, and I again, am as skeptical as you are, or were.
Right.
And so my question is, the things that he told you after he did the reading there, are they things that, you know, are so general they could apply to any horse, or was it very specific stuff?
It was kind of a mixture of both. If you don't know about anal communication, most of the time it's done over the phone. He will do it in person as well. He's actually sort of local to us, but in terms of our timeline, we just had him do it over the phone for us. So he's never met my horse, and I didn't even really give him any background. The only thing I said was, he said, you know, what kinds of problems is she having? I said, she's a little bit of a spooky horse. You know, if I'm hacking her, she's likely to sort of drop a shoulder and spin and run off the other direction if she sees, you know, a leaf blowing the wrong way or something like that. So that's pretty much the only thing I told him. I said, you know, she's a little bit insecure. Is there anything that she has to say about that or anything that could help with that? And so that was all the information he had. And so we started out, and first of all, he sort of goes physically around the horse's body. And so my horse, she's a mare, Calla, she has this sort of on and off again left hind lameness. And it's been a real mystery. We've taken her to Virginia Equine Imaging. They've done x-rays and ultrasounds and basically everything short of a bone scan and have never really been able to find anything. It sort of comes and goes. She'll be perfectly fine one day, and then the next day she's sort of dropping that toe again. And so they said maybe it's some hock arthritis. We can't really see that much. So she's had, you know, the round of Adequan. She's had hock injections, and it still sort of hasn't gone away. So he went in her body, and he basically says that he looks through, as though he is the horse. So he's sort of looking through their eyes and feeling every part of their body. And he went around. He didn't find too much pain anywhere. He said her right eye is maybe a little bit fuzzier than her left, but not too bad. And then he got around to the left hind, and I was sort of like holding my breath because I know this is a big problem. And he said, oh, the left hind is, you know, having a problem. Sometimes she drops that toe. And I was like, oh, my gosh, there's absolutely no way that he could have known that. And so I said, you know, where do you think it is? And he said, well, I can see, you know, maybe a little bit of hock arthritis, but more than that, it looks like it's in the hip. And so I was sort of like, oh, my gosh, because that is basically the only conclusion that any vet who's looked at her has been able to come to, that it must just be something higher up in the hip that you can't really see. So that was pretty crazy. I was pretty blown away by that. But he also had some really funny things to say as well. Calla, being a typical thoroughbred mare, she likes to jump. She's pretty happy when she's jumping, but she's not super happy to be doing dressage ever. So I asked about that, you know, is there a way to make dressage more fun for her? And he said basically that she hates it. She thinks it's really stupid. She thinks that I'm not particularly good at it. She doesn't think that she's good at it either. So this is great.
Your horse
to hear
said
from
you
your
suck.
Horse. Yeah.
That must have made you feel good.
Yeah, so I'm like, all right, thanks, Calla. You know, I've been feeding you for the last couple of years, and this is what you have to say
exactly.
About me.
Exactly. See if you get any more imaging from me.
Yeah. So,
does that make you want to not do dressage on her anymore? Does that make you just want to go in there and kick her butt?
You know, we kind of made a compromise because I said, you know, if she wants to jump, she has to do dressage as well. That's just how it works.
Right.
And he said, well, she thinks that maybe you could let her do it in the field more often, which I think is a reasonable request. We live in Northern Virginia. There's tons of fields all over the place. So, fine, we'll do dressage in the field more often. That was one funny thing he said.
Did he tell you what to do about the hip, or did he just kind of go, like all the other vets, like it's sore in this general area?
Yeah, he said that maybe like massage or chiropractic work would help, which it does. That's actually the only thing we found that does really help is she gets chiropractored. Is that the correct word for that? Chiropractored?
Adjusted.
Yeah, she gets adjusted like once every 2 months or so, and that seems to keep her pretty happy. He said that she might like a magnetic blanket, but, you know, those are pretty expensive, so we're holding off on that for a little while.
Put some kitchen magnets up against her hips a couple times a day.
Yeah.
Should be
fine. Vet wrap them on.
So overall, I mean, it was pretty cool. You know, and I guess, you
so
know.
So now are
you
a believer? Did you walk away believing? Because you said you were a skeptic before.
I don't
did
know.
You walk
I think
away
I'm. With- I'm somewhere in the middle now. I'm still fairly skeptical. I think that, you know, saying that a thoroughbred mare doesn't like to do dressage, like, all right, duh, which thoroughbred mare does like to do that? That's a pretty obvious one. But I was pretty blown away with the left hip thing. There were some other things, like she said that she doesn't understand why I'm gone for, you know, fairly long periods of time. And so I was like, well, you know, my job requires me to travel quite a bit, so I will be gone often for a week. Or, you know, 5 days at a time. So I guess, you know, if he knew about my job, he could have assumed that I wasn't home all the time. But I don't really think that he would have made that connection. So, yeah. But he gave me some practical tips, too. He said to tell her before I ride her. She would like to know the day before what we're going to do the next day because she doesn't like me just showing up and throwing her on the trailer and taking her for a cross-country school. She wants to sort of plan in advance for that. So now I feel basically like the craziest person in the world every day because I'm turning my horse out in the field and saying, okay, Calla, tomorrow I'll be here around 4 and we're going to do dressage.
Do you do that in front of people or do you hide?
Yeah, you know, it's become a running joke now, and sort of everyone does it. So at my barn, they sort of know what's going on. But if I were to do it in public, I think I would probably do it pretty quietly.
So Jamie, are you a believer in animal communication?
The only experience I've had with it is an animal communicator who talked to me on the phone and said my horse didn't like turning in circles.
Ah, okay.
Like, Well, what do you want to do? Ride him up the freeway?
Well, that makes a lot
of
sense.
We got a turn.
Yeah.
So that was pretty much it. So I think I would like to have my horse red and see what happens.
Yep.
Well, I think it's got to be
a pretty cool thing.
Proven.
Yeah. I mean, I do agree that I'm still a little bit skeptical. I mean, how could you not be? You're calling someone on the phone and he's telling you things about your horse that he's never seen. So that all seems a little bit wacky to me. But I don't know. I'm not opposed, you know, to trying things that might help, even if they're a little unconventional.
I'm with you, girl.
But
good for you.
So you actually, where's this article again? Where can people read the article if they want to learn more about it?
This one is in our latest issue of the Chronicle Connection.
Okay.
And if you go to our website, which is www.chronofhorse.com, you can register to get the Chronicle Connection, and I believe there's also a link up there, although I can't always find it, which is frustrating. But you can certainly go to our website and register, and then you will start getting the Chronicle Connection in your email inbox.
Okay. All right. Cool. All right, well, that's an interesting experience you had. I did a special Stable Scoop episode. If people want to go listen to it, it was episode 128, where I did one-on-one with Anna Twenty, who is one of the best-known animal communicators around the world.
Yeah.
And she knew I was a skeptic when we went in. And I got to tell you, you know, she's so sensible and she was so articulate. By the time I was done, I was having doubts too. So we're going to try and get a reading of Beaker, my horse here. And she does do it over the phone and as well as in person. But she'll have to do this one over the phone. She's in Colorado. So
I'll have to
get back to you how that goes after she does the reading of Beaker.
Yeah. I'd be curious to hear about that.
Yeah. Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Any other crazy people?
We should have her. We should have her read Beaker, and we should have her read My Little Emotional Mess of a Thoroughbred Jet, and then we will totally know.
We'll have the answer. Yep.
She'll say that woman that does the radio, she's crazy.
Yeah.
My mommy's crazy.
Yep. Well, I think pretty much anyone who's read this article has made the assumption that I'm crazy now. So that's out there in the world. I'm fine with that.
Way to go, though. Good for you.
Yeah.
All for science.
Good for you. Take one. Take one for the Chronicle, Lisa.
Yep.
You get a raise for that, by the way?
You know, you would hope so. Maybe I should petition for one.
Yeah. I'll call Sarah later, okay?
All right. That sounds good.
Thank you, Lisa. We appreciate it. Of course, that's chronofhorse.com. I think we lost her. Yeah, I think she's gone.
Yep. We did. Hey,
are you back? Did
you
catch your horses?
Holy cow. I looked outside and my old horse, we had this tiny little patch of grass that is like my husband's golf course. He tends to it. He loves it. He breathes on it. It's this little patch of grass. I just looked outside and my old horse is eating it. So I'm like, oh, no. And I run out there, and I also see that the pony has gotten out, too. We have a chain that hangs down, and the horses can't get through that. But that's barrier number one. Barrier number two is the gate, and I had some students out here late, and I should have checked it, but that gate was open. So the pony was eating some grain that he had knocked over, and, he didn't look like he got very much, but I need to go tend to him, and who knows, maybe we'll go to the vet and pump his stomach. Better safe than sorry, right? Ugh.
You're not sure how much he got?
I have no idea how much he got, but because he knocked it over. But they weren't out there long. I mean, I looked out there not too long ago, and they weren't there. So I think he'll be fine, but we'll have to go look. He's a pony, so, you know, better safe than sorry with the whole laminitis thing. Good Lord, we just did a month of laminitis. I should know all about it by now.
That's right. That's true. Well, let's just mention this one last thing, and then we'll let you go deal with your horses. And that is, I just posting here your .2 vest.
My husband has informed me that riding my crazy green thoroughbred in his first horse trial in June, that I need to be protected with armor. And there's no better armor to protect at eventing than the .2 air vest. So we have decided to take the plunge and make the investment in a .2 air jacket. But I need everybody's help like this. Okay, my eventing colors are red, white, and blue. But like red, white, and royal blue. And so those are my colors, and I have to pick one of these jackets to get. So Glenn is going to post on Facebook right now the different colors, and you guys help me pick. Help me. I'm not a good fashion person. I don't know colors, and y'all did so good with the saddles and everything that I want to help picking out which color. So we're going to put those up on Facebook, and you guys definitely help me out.
You're one of the most indecisive people I've ever met. You know that?
Oh, you should see. Thank God I'm a vegetarian, because when I go to restaurants, usually there's only one thing on the menu I can eat. Thank God, because if there was two, if there's two on a menu, I sit there for 20 minutes. I can't even decide what to order. So, yeah, definitely indecisive and need help.
I was really grateful. We went to Jalapenos with you while you were here, which is the Mexican restaurant that everybody goes to here in Lexington. And the menu is about 12 pages long, but I was so grateful that you had a favorite that you get every time, and we didn't have to deal with that.
No, Glenn, I was there half an hour before you. That's when I went to work, because they have the really good potato burrito. They have the awesome fajitas. They also have a spinach quesadilla. I couldn't decide, but see, I had 30 minutes and one margarita down by the time you got there, so that helped.
Well, I just posted the picture on Facebook, and people can chime in on to what they think, what color they think Jamie should end up with. I think a good pink would have been good, but I don't see pink there as one of the colors. So
they had pink, but it wouldn't go with red, white, and blue. These were the three
that
I thought might look good.
All right. So there's the choices, and we're going to be back here again tomorrow. We have some great guests lined up for tomorrow, and, of course, I'm sure there'll be more Derby talk. I will have the sound file for you of the last 5 years of the Kentucky Derby like I did yesterday. We'll finish that up tomorrow. I wanted to put that special one together for Mucho Macho Man today, and I didn't know that playing Old Kentucky Home was going to make her cry. So,
I love her.
She was so sweet and so nice. How cool is it that she takes time to talk to little old us, you know, every couple of weeks like that? That's pretty cool.
She's cool.
And you know
what?
I want to have her back no matter what happens. We'll get her back no matter what happens with the race. So we'll definitely do that. And, of course, you can follow all the other shows in the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at Horse Radio.
And if you missed the live show, you can always listen to the recorded version on our website, affiliate websites. You can download things from iTunes. It's really easy to find us. Thank you, Christy, for being the first person to vote. She said black. Black is the color. Poor Glenn. I'm sorry I do this to you. I'm just a mess. We'll be back tomorrow morning. We've got your final look at your Derby coverage before the big day.
And really bad ads. Don't forget to send your ads in to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com for really bad ads and win one of our famous hats.
Yes, you can win a signed hat, Jennifer at Horse Radio Network. Just look on Craigslist. You'll find one pretty quick. 2 days, 11 hours, and 3 minutes till post time, by the way. Thank you very much. Say goodbye, Glenn.
Goodbye, everybody.